Sandy Williams hours, and it's always good to have Sandy. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, I was asking the question about the fact that it almost appears as if we people believe that we are home free. There's still an issue in Europe and other places with the coronavirus, and certainly not anywhere near as deadly as it's been, but it is something that we need to focus on. And yet at the same time, we are pulling the resources away from all the things that we put the money in, where people could be tested and people could get the vaccinations. And here we are, government is pulling the resources away as if we're home free. Is it a bit early, Sandy?
Well, I think it is early to pull resources away. I think we ought to stand ready with testing and vaccination capacity, because clearly those are things that help us deal with the epidemics that result. I do think it's smart to pull back a little bit on the extent to which we require the American people to feel restricted, because I think we get essentially epidemic fatigue from all of this long-term restrictions, and it has economic effect. You know, the real interest we have from a public standpoint is to protect our hospital system and to make sure that our healthcare system doesn't collapse in the face of lots of cases suddenly being presented to the hospital as the result of the epidemic. You know, the disease itself proved to be, a very difficult disease, one which was more risky to humans than the flu, but not as risky as some truly lethal kinds of diseases. And so the real interest that the American health system has is in protecting hospitals from getting overwhelmed. And so I think what we should have going forward, I think what we will have going forward, is public policies that relates to the rate at which hospitals are filling up and potentially becoming overwhelmed. And then we will have restrictions imposed. But should we back off on the ability to test and vaccinate? No. I mean, that's sort of the first line of, that's the way we find out whether we've got a problem. And that's how we get ahead of the problem. So I hope we're not pulling back on those capacities. I do think it's probably okay to pull back on a bunch of the restrictions in order to see what kind of a health result we get out of a more normalized life.
You know, Sandy, I honestly pray, and like many others, I think we've gotten to a point now in the country where, you know, we've seen the worst of this, and I don't ever foresee a time, or at least I hope that we won't see a time in the coming, you know, months or years that we'll ever get back to what things were a year or so ago, or, you know, in the early stages of this. Are you satisfied, Sandy, that we've learned enough to never be put in the situation again that we were a year or so ago?
No, I mean, I think epidemics and diseases are very hard for man to deal with. And I think we probably always underestimate the extent to which viruses in particular could pose massive risks to human health and safety. So, you know, can man control human nature? No. Could we do it? Could we have done a better job? I think now we are better equipped to deal with the onslaught of pandemics. And I think we realize now that the public interest needs to be focused on the healthcare system, and that the benefits to human beings in terms of their health and safety will fall from that. When the pandemic started this time, we tended to focus almost entirely on that danger it posed to individuals, and I think human beings in the United States in particular came to believe that that the risk was a personal choice. I'll get vaccinated in order to preserve my own life or not, depending on, you know, it's my own choice to make. And we lost sight of the fact that the choice was really all about protecting the healthcare system And we were supposed to get vaccinated so that not too many of us would get sick at once, so that, you know, when someone had a heart attack, they could be assured of getting health care.
You know, Sandy, right now, if you look at all the things that I'm reading, is now the fallout from people who were not insured and, you know, were taken care of with, and this is going to be devastating financially to a lot of different people. How is this going to be handled? I mean, again, it goes back to whether or not we should have made sure that people have insurance coverage. If ever there was a time, Sandy, that the argument should be for the Affordable Care Act and to have as many people insured as possible, it's right now with the financial fallout that's going to be, we're going to be feeling for a long time to come with those who are in the hospital.
Well, I thought that the government had stepped in and was going to supplant the need for insurance for those who were hospitalized as the result of COVID. But I think that federal support is being suspended or has been suspended. I'm not sophisticated enough about this to know exactly what the facts are, but I do know this, that the pandemic definitely demonstrated the problem the United States has with so many uninsured people. You know, the fact that the government is now required to spend so much money in support of them, and the extent to which people will be exposed going forward if they don't.
So do you think now, Sandy, we're going to go back to that discussion and with the importance of the Affordable Care Act after realizing just how much money this government, you know, wound up having to eat? You know, I mean, somebody's going to have to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, the healthcare system was exposed badly, and the extent to which we have an illogical and Byzantine healthcare system was clearly exposed. Whether we have the appetite politically to overcome all the private interest groups that are invested in the current system, that's the problem we've got. You know, clearly, even the people vested in the system will tell you that it's screwed up, that it's broken. But when it comes time to fixing it, then the private interests that get affected by the fix rise up and make it very difficult. The prescription, the cost of prescription medication, the sort of unregulated and cost of medical care for particularly very sick people. I mean, we think water is a fundamental public resource that needs to be available to all people, because we all realize that if you can't get water for a couple of days, you're not going to survive. Well, when you get cancer or when you get very sick, aren't you in the same position as the person who needs water? You suddenly absolutely require health care, but the public doesn't stand ready to assure you that you're going to get health care, even though the public does stand ready to assure that you will get water.
You know, Sandy, how soon we forget. And, you know, Americans are real good at forgetting what happened yesterday. And as we move outside of all of those protocols and all of those things, that it almost appeared as if, you know, these things are going to be with us forever. The more we move outside of it, you know, the more people are going to forget, and the more we're going to be doomed to repeat it. And our elected officials, they're not going to have an appetite for this. And that's why somebody has to keep it on the front burner, Sandy. And I don't know who can, because as you stated, the lobbyists, I'm sure there are more people on Capitol Hill lobbying for, you know, the health insurance companies than there are for lobbying for you and I.
Well, take something as important as our healthcare system over the long term. It's clearly a serious problem we have. Or child daycare is a serious problem for the workers. In fact, I think business is soon going to start supporting child daycare, because this shortage of labor we have can only be fixed if they can get both mom and dad back into the workforce so that they have the workers they need. But with respect to with respect to healthcare, here's an important issue. But right now, what are we watching? Well, we're watching the war in Ukraine, which is clearly something which grabs our attention and seems very important. And then the flip side of that is we seem to be paying a lot of attention to transgenderism.
You're right. Right.
Yeah. So there we go.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, we've got an important issue on the shelf, healthcare, and we're totally focused on other stuff. One thing which is important in the world, and another thing which is not clear to me how it developed this level of importance and attention.
You know, Sandy, the conversation about the Supreme Court situation and, you know, and the types of questions that were being asked, all of these things kind of show that as powerful as our nation is, our attention span in this country and what we focus on really is pathetic when we think about all the serious things that we are dealing with and in the world that impact and affect our country, that we just don't seem to have the appetite to even have that discussion. You know, to me, you know, you and I can have these discussions, and I'll tell you, Sandy, I've said it before, there's nobody that I know of on these airwaves that are having the discussions, serious discussions, as much as you and I are every time we are together, that make us all think about our country and the future of it and all of those things. And yet, you know, these other things come up that don't really have a whole lot of impact on the future of our society, on the future of the people who will come after you and I. But man, like you said, if you want to talk about gay rights, you know, who was Marjorie Taylor Greene, the lunatic from, where's she from, Georgia somewhere, who is now, you know, making the kinds of statements that she's making, and yet that gets a lot of publicity, you know, just does not make any sense whatsoever. We've got to go to a break. Sandy Williams is on the line. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.